Now, last week we started our new sermon series on minor characters of the New Testament with a character called John, who was also known as Mark. That was the best photograph I could get of him. So he's a difficult man to track down. Well, this morning, the character we're looking at also has two names. Dorcas, also known as Tabitha. Now, Tabitha's story is very brief. There are only a few verses in Acts. So let's read from Acts 9, starting at verse 36. The text will come up as I read as well, if I remember to press the button at the right moment. So it's Acts 9, starting at verse 36. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. So, what do we know about Tabitha? Tabitha is the Aramaic name she went by, and Dorcas is the Greek. They both mean gazelle. That's the translation of her name. It's clear that both names have the same meaning, which is why she went for it. I'm not sure that some of our celebrities went for the same meaning of names. They just went for something that was a bit more kind of dynamic, perhaps, than their names. But it gives us a clue, perhaps, that she had the ministry with the Greeks and the Jews alike, such that she went by two different names. We know nothing about Tabitha's family history or much about her at all. They're the only verses where Tabitha's mentioned in the Bible. We know that she lived in Joppa. That's a town made famous by the story of Jonah, but that's another story, not for this morning. We know that she was a disciple. We know that she was someone who'd spent time with the scriptures and someone put what she learned into practice. She was dedicated to kind of obeying everything that she'd learned about Jesus' commands and, you know, the practices. She'd spent time with the community of God. And she was a woman of action. Verse 36 tells us she was always doing good and helping the poor. Now, a lot of people do a lot of talking about helping the poor, but don't actually do anything. She showed that she was a disciple by the way of that she lived her life. She was full of good works and charitable deeds and spent her time doing good things for people and helped the poor people and the widows in the city. And she was loved. And we know that because verse 38, first of all, Peter is sent forth from the nearby town to minister to the fellowship who are so distraught by her loss. And we also know in verse 39, all the widows, so not just one or two widows, but all the widows in Joppa had come. So clearly, Tabitha's had a big effect on the life of and the Christian community in that area. Let's set the scene a little bit. What do we know about Peter and his involvement in the story? If we go back to the few verses before we come to, and we read Acts 9, 32 to 35. As Peter travelled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas who was paralysed and had been bedridden for 8 years. "Aeneas," Peter said to him, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat." Immediately Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. So to set the scene for Peter, he'd been travelling about. He'd been in Samaria where he had encountered Simon the sorcerer. Then we find out in Matthew 8, 25, that he'd returned to Jerusalem with John, having preached in many of the Samaritan villages. And he'd been at Lydda, which is there, because I had to look up where it was. It's a nearby town to Joppa. You haven't got Jerusalem on there, but it isn't actually that far, I think. It's about 25 miles, which would have been far for them, because they would have had to walk everywhere, or perhaps go on a horse. but it's actually, in the sense of geographically, it's not that far from Jerusalem. And as we know, he'd been involved in the healing of Aeneas, which results in many people coming to faith. And I guess he had then been involved with those people who'd come to faith, which is why he'd stayed on in the area. So, and also that story had got passed on and relayed so that the people in Joppa knew where Peter was. They'd heard where he was, so that's why they immediately went there. They travelled a distance of about 11 miles, which put, you know, 3 hour trek maybe, if you walk fast. They arrive, they find Peter, they explain what's happened, and without sort of thinking too much about it, it says Peter goes with them straight away. Peter was available to God. He'd been available to him travelling about the country. He was available to the people who had just come to the Lord there. And someone comes to him with a need, and he goes. He just got up and went. He could have said, I'm busy, I'm too tired, I've been travelling about the country, I've got all these people to minister to. But he didn't. He got up and he went. And that's a point to note. We need to be available for God to use us. We need to be ready to kind of put things aside. Sometimes we can feel like we're too busy or we're tired or we just can't be bothered. But there will be occasions when we need to put those things aside and prioritise what God wants us to do. And that's costly to us because, you know, we've got our agendas. We've got all the things that we want to do. But God kind of comes along and says, actually, I want you to do this thing right now. And that means putting what you want to do to one side. So Peter joins the messengers and they set off for Joppa, which is there. The 11 miles, I had to put that on. I don't know if you can see it, but, you know, I thought it was helpful. I did initially didn't have that slide between the two, and it looked much more dramatic when they clicked on it and the little red dot appeared on the same map, but hey, never mind. Peter had realised the importance of the request of these messengers. He got a sense from them how valued Tabitha had been to their community, and how that her loss had devastated their community, how much they were grieving her loss. And they wanted someone to come and minister to them. But maybe also in that, there was a sense that Peter had been involved in healing. And maybe they thought that perhaps he could do something. After all, Peter had had previous involvement in raising people from the dead. He'd been present on all the three occasions recorded in Scripture when Jesus raised individuals from the dead. That's Jairus' daughter in Matthew 9:25, the son of the widow of Nain in Luke 7:11-17, and Lazarus also, John 11:1-44. So he's had experience of being alongside Jesus when he's raised people from the dead. So Peter arrives in Joppa, and he's taken straight away to where Tabitha's body has been prepared for burial. And he's surrounded by the distraught people who are desperate to show him just how valued Tabitha is. What does Peter do? Sends everybody outside. Go away. Does that sound familiar? Because when Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, he did exactly the same. He had he was surrounded by people who were distraught and crying, and he sends them outside. Peter had watched his master at work, and he copies his behaviour. And that's important for us to notice, that we need to pay attention to what Jesus is doing or has done. We need to copy his behaviour. There's so much that we can learn from Jesus by looking at Scripture. We can see what Jesus did. We can study and learn and find out how to pray, how to connect with God, how to remain faithful, how to share the gospel. And Peter, in his time with Jesus, he learned these things. He was modelling his behaviour on his beloved Lord. But the one key thing here is to note is that it's not Peter doing the healing in this situation, whereas before it was Jesus. But it's God, Jesus and God, who are doing the healing in this situation. So Peter prays. We don't know what he prayed. I did read one commentary which said that he fervently prayed for Tabitha to be raised from the dead, but we don't actually know that. It doesn't actually tell us that in the text. We do know that he wasn't looking at the body when he prayed, because the text tells us that he turned to the body. And I always think it's interesting when you notice little things like that. You know, he's in this room with a dead body and he turns away from it and prays. I don't know why, but we're told that he then turns towards the body and he says, get up. Now, Jesus uses that phrase. Jesus said, get up. He said it to the paralyzed man. In Luke 5, he said it to Jairus' daughter. In Mark 5, he said it to the man with the shriveled hand. in Luke 6. He said it to the widow of Nain's son in Luke 7. And what does Peter say to Ananias? I've got it wrong there. Acts 9:34. Ananias, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat. So again, we see Peter modelling his behaviour on Jesus, what he'd seen and what he'd heard. And he had faith that God would use him. And God does heal Tabitha. She opens her eyes and she gets up. And then Jesus presents her to the faithful community. And they rejoice as they see that Tabitha has been restored to them. I mean, what a difference for them to go from such grief to such joy. Let's just take a moment and look at the impact that Tabitha had on her community before she died. For Tabitha has been serving the marginalised in the society, the most vulnerable, because there were no government safety nets to catch the people then. There were no benefit systems. So she was serving and ministering to those who were of greatest need in their community. We're not actually told what was wrong with Tabitha. We're just told that she got sick and died. And there's an impression that she was sort of in the midst of doing things when she got sick. She was busy. She was involved in the community. And she passed away in the midst of doing. But there's something also that's really significant to note in this. We don't hear a word from Tabitha. She's absolutely a silent character in this story. And all that we know about her is from the reports of other people. Her praise comes from the mouths of others. Verse 39 tells us that the widows showed Peter the clothes that Tabitha had made. They wanted him to know, to see how much they valued her. And that's another point to note. Be known for what you do. Let's be people known for our good deeds. Let's be people that other people speak well of. And in all that we do, may we not seek to be praised, but let what we do speak for itself, such that then that accolade can be passed on by other people. And in being raised from the dead, what impact does Tabitha have then? They move from this intense grief of losing this most valued member of their community to such joy that she's back and part of their community. She can carry on doing all these marvellous things. And they were so excited that they couldn't keep silent. So much so that the story passes through the whole of Joppa. And that too causes many people to come to faith. So you've got two towns, fairly close to each other, where you've got people coming to faith through two different kinds of healings. Dramatic effect on that area, where people are passing these stories on because they're so excited about what they've seen and what they've heard. And we have to be people who are willing to share our stories. Whether our story is of healing or something else, we need to share our stories with a confidence, perhaps, that God will use what we have to say to bring about change in other people's lives. That if we're just completely comfortable and normal about sharing what God is doing for us with people perhaps who aren't of faith, we need to have that confidence that we can share those stories and that God can use what we say. But if we don't share them, there won't be any impact. So we need to be confident about what God is doing in our lives, to share wherever we're at, whether we're at home or work or school or out on the streets or with friends and family, and trust that God can use that. God can use that sharing about what his work is, his work in our lives, and that he can use that to bring other people to faith. As we said, that Tabitha wasn't special because she was raised from the dead, even though that is kind of quite special, really. But she was special because of the kind of life that she lived. The life that she lived before she died is just as important as God raising her from the dead. And I guess that the life she went on living after she'd been raised, because I don't suppose she just gave up and lived off the back of her story. You're going, oh, yeah, I was raised from the dead. I don't need to do anything else now. I guess she went straight back to what she was doing. She got up and was presented to everyone, and I wonder what she must have felt about that, whether she realised she'd been dead and alive. I always wonder about these things, but I guess she just went back to doing what she'd always been doing. She was a great example of how we are to seek to meet the needs of those around us. In Acts 4, it tells us that all the believers shared everything, so that there weren't any poor among them. That would have been the model of church that Tabitha would have known about, would have experienced. And she would also have known about the Proverbs that tell us that we need to care for the poor and the needy. Proverbs 19:17, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. Proverbs 14:21, it is a sin to despise one's neighbour, but blessed is the one who is kind to the needy. And Isaiah 58:6-7 says this, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. We are to continue to remember the poor, to be aware that the part of religion that our God, our Father, accepts is to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress. That's what it tells us in James 1:27. And that was the kind of religion that Tabitha practiced. She'd studied the scriptures. Remember, she was a disciple. She knew that there was a biblical precedent for care of the marginalised. Zechariah 7:10, do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. Do not plot evil against each other. We're to look after those who are not so well off as we are. We're to have a heart that seeks after God's heart. And God's heart is for the poor and the marginalised. And we also know the story that Jesus tells in Matthew 25 about the sheep and the goats. And key to it are these verses. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of the brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. I was naked and you clothed me. This is what Tabitha did. She not only provided clothes for those who needed them, she made them. And every garment, so meticulously stitched by hand, for there were no machines in those days, demonstrated the love that she had for those who had little or nothing at all. She was such a key member of the fellowship. And in her story, we see how the whole of the community of God work. They'd lost a key family member. They were mourning the loss. We're told in the Bible that if one part of the body suffers, then every part suffers with it. And Tabitha was one of their family. She was one of their own. And her absence was leaving such a huge void in their community. And in grieving her loss, what they had to share were the examples of the good work that she'd done and the memories of the impact that she'd had on their lives. She was known for her love and her care, for her gifts and her talents, and for her willingness to do things for other people. Now, Tabitha was clearly gifted in crafts, in sewing crafts, and maybe that's your thing. Or maybe not. I have to say, it's not really mine. I get by. Straight lines and mending jobs are sort of more my thing. I think it comes from a disaster that I had when I was making a pair of shorts when I was about 11. That ended up looking like they'd fit an elephant more than the skinny 11-year-old me. I sort of managed to sew them upside down somehow, such that they were about this wide and this high. And when I showed my mother, I said, something's gone wrong. She had hysterics, and even now it makes me laugh. They were forever after known as the elephant shorts. And I decided clothes weren't my forte, and I have to say, I didn't learn from that, because don't even ask about the baby grow I once made for Bex. I wish I'd taken a picture of it with her in it. It was hysterical, but sadly, I laughed so hard, poor child, I had to rescue her straight away. I happened to mention, I popped up at the weekend, having moved Bex yet again to her new place in London, and so she can sort of carry on with her new job there. And I happened to drop in on my parents, and we had a few, and I explained to her that I was sort of talking on this. And the conversation got round to her sewing abilities, and I had to sort of say to her, you know, I think I did actually get defeated by her perfectionism, because she was told and taught when she learnt sewing that the inside of the garment has to look just as good as the outside. And I just never got that. I just never had that attention to detail. She was she was impressive in the way that she made all these things. My mum used her talents and abilities with her sewing. And God gives us all sorts of difference. I'm not expecting us to have a church of people who are fantastic at sewing and nothing else. If that would be a bit odd if that was the case. We have lots of different talents and abilities, and we've got to use them. And we've got to also not hope that we had the gift that someone else has got. We mustn't be jealous of someone else with marvellous sewing abilities or, great DIY skills, because we've got our own skills and abilities. And we need to use them to help other people in our fellowship and our community, whatever those gifts and abilities are. We need to be known as people of God. John 13, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. By this shall all men, all people know. Tabitha showed that she loved others in all that she did. In using her sewing talent, she did all the good that she could. Now, there's a quote as I was preparing this that I came across, and I looked it up. I think it was first attributed to John Wesley in 1904, although there's actually no record of him having said it at all. Misquotes like the ones I'm going to quote might not be true in the historical sense, but they often align with principles that the people lived by during their lives, and they also align with the principles in Scripture. But despite the fact that he didn't say it, even though I think initially I thought he did, I think it's still worth quoting. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. God can use us. He does use great preachers like Peter and Paul, but he also uses those with gifts of kindness like Tabitha. And he can use us with all the different gifts that we've been given. Tabitha was known as Tabitha, but she was also known as Dorcas. She was known as someone who has cared and loved and shared and served. Some of us here have different names. Whether you've got just the one name or you're known by more, what is it that you actually want to be known for? Carer, listener, good at sewing, gardening, decorating, cake decorating. What's your impact on your community, our community, going to be? I'll repeat the quote again. Do all the good that you can, all the means you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. So our 3 points to note this morning are: be available to God so that he can use you. Be known by what you do so we can give glory to him. Be confident about what God is doing in your life and share about it. Tell others what God is doing. Because if we keep silent, nobody's going to know that God's amazing. That God it does impact our lives on a daily basis. And if we don't share about that, if we don't treat that as normal in our lives, and we don't share that with other people who know nothing about God, then we are doing him a great disservice. And we're doing them a disservice because we're not sharing about this amazing God that we serve. Here's a challenge for you this week. Is there something that each of us could do in this coming week, using your gifts, to benefit someone else? Because it's all very well talking about it. I can talk about it. I can sit down in a minute. We can go home and that be it. Or we can actually say, I'm going to do something this week to impact someone else. We need to be people of action. So have a think. Who are the poor among us? Who are the marginalised? Is there something we can do to minister to them? It could be something as simple as bringing something to the food bank next Sunday. Something as simple as that. But we need to, whatever we do, we're not doing it such that we can get the accolade, but that God will be given the glory. So as you seek to serve God in this way and in other ways, maybe it's a commitment not just to specifically do something this week, but do something ongoing. Remember, we need to show God's love to others in all that we do. We need to use our God-given abilities to serve other people, such that we are people who are known by our love for one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.